nationwide. We bring you latest current issues, discussions and information. Nationwide on Radio Miraya.
Hello and good evening to you listening to Nationwide. My name is Sunny Martin. We are coming to you live from Juba. And today we are going to be discussing the draft National Peace Building Policy Framework document of 2022 to 2027 for the Ministry of Peace Building. What does it entail? And what are the current policies of the Ministry of Peace Building to address the intercommunal conflict that has engulfed some parts of the country, beginning from Greater Jonglei up to Upper Nile and some parts of Equatoria? Those are some of the issues we are going to be looking at this evening, as our lines will be open to you, where you can call on 0912062079 or 0912062950. Those are all our lines who can be part of our discussion. Joining me to discuss all this plus many more is Honorable Pierre Philip Michael, who is the Undersecretary in the Ministry of Peace Building. Good evening, and thank you so much for honoring our invitation.
Thank you, Sun Martin, and thank you to our listeners of Radio Miraya this afternoon.
It's not late to say Happy New Year.
Happy New Year 2023.
Okay, first of all, we have just started the year and we are 16 days into the new year. And so far, you have heard what's happening. Several people have been killed on a daily basis in Greater Jonglei, Equatoria, some parts of Equatoria, just in Mangala. And yay, the last incident we had was in Kajikeji County. So when you hear all this intercommunal violence happening, as the Undersecretary of Peace Building, what are your major concerns?
Yeah, thank you, Sunny. Directly to that question, my concern and the question I've been asking myself is, why should we have over 35 young people, 35,000, that's what I heard, what happened in Greater Jonglei. Why should we have 35,000 young men and women mobilize themselves to go and fight at a go? That means that these young men have nothing much to lose. Because in life, when you have nothing to lose, and then you can do anything. But when your children are going to school, when you have some small businesses, when you are engaged in productive activities that you take care of, you have something to lose. But when you have nothing to lose as much, then you are easily taken up by this. So the question that comes to mind is, what is it? How do we make this young man to feel that taking that risk is not good for them, is not good for their family, is not good for their parents? So this is still a big question that we need to ask, because how do you mobilize 35,000 within a week or two and they are ready to go and fight? Mm-hmm. There are a lot of questions in that.
Okay, let's see maybe this draft National Peace Building Policy Framework document have some ways of solving some of these issues. Tell us more about this draft National Peace Building Policy.
Yeah, the Ministry of Peace Building, when it was started by the peace agreement, there were no legal framework. So what the ministry has done for the last 2 years is to establish a legal framework to come up with a peace building policy and the strategic framework. And so the peace building policy basically is talking about how do we coordinate efforts and what type of roles and responsibilities should be given or are apportioned at the national level, state level, community, women, youth, in order to bring peace? What are some of the key indicators that we must focus on in order to bring sustainable peace in South Sudan? And then also, what type of peace building architecture is there? How does the information from the national to the state to the county to the Payam to the Boma, and who are the key stakeholders and what is their role in peace building? And how do we sell this to the international arena? How do we build strong pillars of peace building in the country? So that's basically what our peace building policy is articulated around. Again, we also have the peace building strategic framework. The strategic framework is looking, it has five pillars, but the focus is what can we do now to move, to manage. First of all, the first chapter is about the managing the political transition. What do we need to do with the current peace agreement to manage the political transition, move towards the election, have the constitution in place? What is the role? And how do we keep the peace, which is in chapter two? How, what can we do apart from the that level of military and so on? But how do we, as community, our activities, how does it add into keeping peace? And also, the other chapter is focused on transitional justice. What is, should it be distributive or should it be punitive?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what type of transitional justice that adds more value? Is it taking somebody to court, or is it that an individual comes forward and say, you know, I wronged this community, mm-hmm. I did one, two, three, but
and
forgive
forgiveness.
Me. Yeah. So these are the things. And then the other chapter is on women. What should be the critical role of women in peace building? And how do we ensure that from home, that the homes that we have, women are able to be safe from gender-based violence, economic empowerment for women, and how do women participate? Because women really are owners of peace from home and in the society. How do we build that? How do we support our women to be able to stand up and say no, to challenge the men and say no, no going to war? So these are the elements. And the bigger part, again, is about the youth. And the youth, it's not only about youth stop fighting, but we are looking at a scientific approach. That,
like,
resilience building, access to market, production. How can we ensure that the youth who are fishing have refrigerated vehicles to fish and take their fish to the market and back? How do we ensure that the youth who are in the cattle camp can add value to their to their cattle, can add value to their milk, and can have access to market and have the money instead of AK-47 being the only thing? So it's a huge document, but those are the two documents that we have worked on, that we are still working on polishing up to as a legal framework to take our work forward.
When will this document be when will it become a legal document?
We have already presented to the governance cluster our strategic framework,
mm-hmm.
and from there were some comments which we have incorporated, and now we will be taking it to the Council of Ministers. And the same, soon we are taking the policy document as well to the governance cluster, because as a Minister of Peace Building, we are under the governance cluster.
Right.
And then, so we hope in the next 3 to 4 months, we should have the legal framework for peace building activities in place.
And you had asked a lot of questions, and I would like to pick maybe two of them, and then you provide answers to our listeners. You talked about what are the key indicators of peace building. According to the document and according to the Ministry of Peace Building, what are these key indicators?
Peace, we believe in the Ministry of Peace Building that peace is a basket of good things. Peace is a basket of apples, of oranges, of all those good things. Cause, and then the challenge with that thing called peace is that you only experience peace in its absence.
Mm-hmm.
It's very scientific. So when there is peace, it is like, oh, it is the usual thing, we are fine. But when peace is taken away from us, that's when we start to feel the pinch that peace is missing. But when it is around, we don't feel it. Actually, the indicator for peace is, you know, it moves together with self-actualization, that you can take your child to school, you have education, you can earn a living, you know, you can do your own business, you can move from point A to point B at night without any problem. You are free to do something that supports your life. You have hope. You have hope in tomorrow. There is no desperation, like there is no tomorrow, it is all doom. There is that hope that if your child goes to school, he can become a Payama administrator tomorrow, and he can be a teacher tomorrow. So this hope that when your wife is sick, she can access basic antenatal care, and she can be attended to. There is access to basic medication and basic goods. there are some goods in the market that are affordable. So these are the indicators. When these things are there, then people will feel, you know, they are hopeful and they'll be peaceful.
Yes, many South Sudanese will be skeptical to welcome the document because so many good documents in this country have been written, drafted by the technocrats, but once it comes to actual implementation, they are shelved. What is unique about this document?
What is unique is the unique leadership of the Ministry of Peace Building. You know, we are here together with our Honorable Minister Stephen Parkwall. We are hands-on. We are hands-on. And we believe in what we are doing. And we are reaching out every day to see how we can do that little contribution to the people of South Sudan. Before those documents are out, we are already doing some activities. And so this can tell you that it's not only, we are not looking for a beautiful document, but the legal framework just to help us as a roadmap, to help us, a framework really, to help us to implement and be able to be accountable and say this is what we are implementing. So rest assured, this document, again, it's very inclusive. We brought all the state ministers, DGs, commissions, and this is their document. We have also shared this widely with our partners, and this is what the partners are using now to help do their programming of peace activity in South Sudan.
And who are the partners?
Our key partner with this is UNDP. UN Women has been very close with us. We have also done some work with UNHCR and the UNFPA. And I think we have Swiss embassy, and others. So we are reaching out. We are reaching out to many partners to help us do this.
Okay, and beside this, waiting for this document to become legal, what are the current policies of the Ministry of Peace Building to address the enormous intercommunal conflict that is happening at the moment now in the country?
Look, we are looking at holistic approach. And this is still a plan that we have. But we have started. We have a concept already. I have drafted a concept to this effect.
Mm-hmm.
We want to do a holistic approach. We want to have a sit down around the table and a look at the corridor which is bordering Ethiopia, Kenya, Uganda, Jonglei State, Pibor, Kopoita. That corridor has a lot to be done. Last year, one of our partner went to Nanam, a place called Nanam.
In Greater Jonglei.
In Greater Jonglei. He found people there. And those people around Nanam are living, their livelihood is on the river, Nanam. They get the fish, they have the cow, and they have some dura. And that's their life. And so one man there asked them where they were coming from. They told him they are coming from Juba. They say, oh, is Juba still part of Khartoum? Oh, they said, no. South Sudan got its independence 2011. They say, oh, what about Dr. John Garang? Is he now in Khartoum or is he in South Sudan?
A citizen in Nanam
is not aware whether Dr. John Garang is alive or not. He is not aware whether South Sudan got independence or not. You can imagine.
Is this part of the recurrence of the intercommunal conflict happening in the country?
I think we have not reached all the corners of this country. And if you read in the media, every day, our UN partners, international community has given so much money to Jonglei State and to Pibor. Where is the money going? To Pibor Town? To Bor Town? Are we reaching out to all the corners of Greater Pibor? Are we reaching out with our project and programming to all the corners of Greater Jonglei? What's really happening? And so, given this experience, what the Ministry of Peace Building has decided, we have reached out to our UN partners and we say we want to have a round table. We want to say, let's look into why this corner of this country is so much exposed to this level of violence. As I believe it, it's not just about let us disarm. It's not about disarmament. It's not about collecting the guns. It's about disarming those young people mentally. It's about giving them alternative, sustainable livelihood skills. You can take two guns today from me, but I will still look for another gun. So you have not, disarmament is not something that, it's not sustainable in my view. And so what we want to do, the round table, we want to bring the donors together and we say, what can we do? For example, in Pibor, many children who are in the cattle camp or who are in the bush have not seen any blackboard one day. There is no P8 leaver in the cattle camp who is raiding the cattle. There is no secondary school leaver in the cattle camp. So what if we start a holistic approach? One, let us build feeder roads. Connect these communities to another community. Let us have market for these people to sell and interact with one another. Let us have school, basic school, primary school. In the next 8 years, we will not have any reinforcement of the young people or the egg set joining those who are already in the bush.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the type of holistic approach that we want. And we want to challenge our partner. Our partner, we are doing firefight. This is not going to help. Let's put money in a pot. You will be the one to implement the money. World Bank, Africa Development Bank. We want a sustainable engagement for the next 5 years, you know, in Greater Pibor and the Greater Jonglei. What can we do that will be for long term? Otherwise, the 12 million that WAP talks about every day, they have invested there. I don't know. No, we are not going to get much out of it. So this is the type of round table. We could do the same about Malakal, you know, Fangak, Fiji, Ayod, that area. We could do the same about Maban. We could do the same in Tonj. We could do the same in Lake State, some area. We are happy that now in Lake State there are some good feedback. And so this sit down is something that we are keen on. And before we do that, or in future, we even want to do more engagement in terms of exchange learning, exchange visit learning. We want to take these so-called commanders of the youth who are commanding this.
Mm-hmm.
We want to take them to the Rwanda Genocide Museum, just for them to see what it leads up to.
Like, for example, we were told that we have the Minister of Peace Building in Jonglei State told us that there are powerful prophets who are behind mobilizing these youth. Will you also do the same to them?
Look, even the prophet, look, if I have something to lose,
mm-hmm.
I will not just be mobilized by the prophet and I leave my education, I leave my wife and my family.
These are people they believe so much in.
They believe is
according to the Minister of Jonglei State,
Peace
Building.
That belief is because they don't have any other alternative. We have not opened their thinking to see the world.
Mm.
The other day, I think it was in 2020, there were some young people who were taken from one cattle camp, and they were taken to Rumbek. And when they reached there, they asked it. You know, there was a buffet.
Mm-hmm.
They said, oh, this food, is it all for us? They said, yeah, it is for you. Are we going to eat it? Yeah. You eat it, you go serve yourself.
Self-service.
When you finish, you can go again. Oh, okay. And then they asked it, is this Juba? They told them, no, this is Rumbek.
Not Juba.
We have not exposed our young people to alternatives in life. So if a prophet has that power, he has gained that authority, just because, you know, no prophet will just mobilize you, San Martin, today to leave your family and go and fight because of the exposure you have gone through, because of your level of education. But these young people are innocent to a large extent.
So when do you and the partners intend to do this roundtable for the corridors you have mentioned?
We have developed a concept now, but I think before June we should be able to do this. We are also going to reach out, first of all, to the political leaders of those regions, because we need their political support as well. What can we do together? What message? Because we don't want to engage and then they pass a different message. We want to seek their thought. What do they? Is this something that they would support? If they would support, then we will be in agreement, and then we can reach as a Minister of Peace Building to the partners. Other partners, the UN country team, I have spoken to the resident coordinator. They said it is fine. And we also want to reach out to the ambassadors, because that corridor without proper system is dangerous to all of us, to Ethiopia, to Kenya, to Uganda. Unless you have government, a functioning government at a border post, then that border post is very porous. So, yeah, we want to do that by this year.
So, who are going to be your targets in this roundtable discussion? Are they the youth or the ringleaders of the Catholic people who mobilize, the prophets, the politicians? Because we are also told by the governor of Jonglei State that he believes that there are politicians who are based outside Jonglei State who are also fueling this conflict.
We will, you know, in peace building, we don't leave anybody aside. Mm. We bring all of them in. We will bring everybody in.
On board.
There are those talks. We don't know. We have not justified which politician is the one dividing people and why, you know. But we want to bring, if this is what I believe a politician should be. Any politician, in my view, should be somebody who does not wish anything bad in his community. He or she should be like a hen. You know a hen? When these days our children don't have the hens because we eat chicken from Brazil. You know what a hen does? A hen covers the young ones. If
the eagle
want to pick, you know, it better dies before the eagle picks the young one. And when the young ones are hungry, the hen try to throw away all the big, you know, the big stones, and they leave the young ones to eat the soft things. This is, a politician should be that way. But if there is any politician, for heaven's sake, who mobilizes his community to fight, to shed their blood, that's not a good politician. Mm-hmm. And our people should know who is a good politician. Somebody who exposes you to danger, which father? If an enemy comes home and he runs away and leaves the children to die, that's not a good father. A good father will be the one to open the gate at night when there is any danger outside and keep the children inside. And this is what politicians should be. They should be the gatekeepers to prevent and avoid any challenge that might affect the people that they represent.
Yes, before our lines are open, Honorable Undersecretary, you have talked about the policies, these roundtable corridors you are targeting at the border of Ethiopia, Uganda and Kenya, and also some parts of South Sudan, where you believe if no attention is given, it can be a time bomb. And right now you have also told us about the policy of the ministry to address this intercommunal conflict. The question people are asking as the Ministry of Peace Building, and our initial thinking was that you should be the driver. You should be sitting at the place where the driver drives the car and promote peace in this country. We want to find out, what is your ministry doing or undertaking to promote peaceful coexistence among South Sudanese communities?
You know, the best way what we are promoting is dialogue. Mm-hmm. People to people.
But does it work?
Sometimes our approach is not the right approach, not the approach of the Ministry of Peace Building, but the approach we are doing in South Sudan. If you want dialogue to succeed, dialogue must build from the grassroots. The people who are feeling the pinch. It's not about dialogue in Juba. It's not dialogue for politicians who are not at home. It should be dialogue that is anchored on the traditional authority leadership, anchored on the women leaders in the community and the youth leaders and the business people. They are the one feeling the pinch. They are the one who will say, we are the one suffering. Mm-hmm. We are saying no. Okay, we have a problem of our border. But how was it, Mr. Sultan, how was it 50 years ago, 20 years ago? What do you know? This is how it was. How can we still live together because of what has happened? So dialogue should grow from the grassroots, but not top down. It should be bottom-up approach. And what the political leaders and the ministry is supposed to do is just to provide the leadership and also to listen to what they are saying. If the fight is around a borehole, it is the role now of the political leaders to say, for peace in my community,
we need more borehole.
If it is grazing land, and you know where the cattle drink water, This is why now what I heard, the political leaders and partner come and say, the people have spoken. What can enable them to coexist is another water yard for the animals to drink water. So this is the approach that we are promoting.
Like I said earlier, we have heard from UN agencies, including the United Nations Mission in South Sudan, over 100 conferences, peace conferences have been conducted at the state level all over the country. But we don't see any impact of this. Money being wasted, resources, people being flown from Juba to the state, organize a workshop, and they bring the chiefs, the youth comes together, women leaders, people talk. 2 days later, fighting begins.
You are right. And this is what I've been telling ANMIS, Civil Affairs. I say, don't do it for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have money to do 10 peace dialogues in South Sudan, where you just bring people to talk and then sign the document, eat lunch, drink soda. I don't know whether they take soda or they drink it. I don't know. And they go home.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no mechanism for follow-up. The way they do it is they go...
How do you come in here? Because I believe you are partners in peace.
What we need is, if there is any partner, and this is why we talk about coordination, you want to do peace dialogue, come to the Ministry of Peace Building. We sit down. We communicate to the state ministries of peace building. We identify the key stakeholders. Not ANMIS, not the UN to identify the key stakeholders for us. I don't know, working with civil society organizations. No, it's not sustainable. Work with the government structures. We will identify the key stakeholders. And we will agree, you have $10,000. Let's do $5,000 for the initial engagement. And let us do it the African way. It's not about bringing a service provider with plates of food, which is cooked in Juba or from the restaurant. We do it the African way. The Pierre Agreement was done the African way. People will come, a bull will be slaughtered. And people will do it in their traditional way. And then there will be a mechanism for follow-up. After 3 months, we need to go back and say, community, come together. This is what you agreed. How is it going?
Mm-hmm.
You know, one community can say, you know, the youth from that community came the other day and took our cows again.
Yeah.
Then we bring them again. Why did you take the cows? Please come for a dialogue. So peace building is not in and out. It is consistent engagement within the parameters and the structures of the existing system as a government and a traditional authority.
Right. If you have just joined us right now, you are listening to Nationwide. My name is Annie Martin. We are coming to you live from Radio Mirai in Juba. And in the studio, I have with me Honorable Pierre Philip Michael, who is the Undersecretary in the Ministry of Peace Building here in Juba. And we are discussing about the ministry's policy framework document of 2022 to 2027 that talks about some of the key indicators of peace buildings in the country and the key pillars of also peace building that talks about the youth, the women, and everybody. And also he has explained more about the policy of the ministry to address the issue of intercommunal conflict at the state level. He mentioned about the corridor between Ethiopia and South Sudan, South Sudan, Kenya, South Sudan, Uganda. And that will be a round table expected to take place this year. And if you have got any question, please do call us on 0912062079. Or 0912062950. Those are all our lines. You can call and be part of our discussion. Or you can also send us to our SMS number, your question, 0912177141. Like some of you have been sending in your queries, I'll be reading some of them right here to the Honorable Undersecretary. Hello, Redi Miraya.
Good evening, Sir Martin.
Yes, your name?
You are connected with James Edward in Gudele.
Okay, James from Gudele here. Good evening.
I would like to ask two questions to Under Secretary of Peace Building.
Mm-hmm.
One question, he has a word that he uses in every workshop. He met in three workshops and he had been using the same, like peace is like a bucket that full of
fruits.
That good thing.
Mm.
And I would like to know, where do you get those fruits and where are the trees that you select this? If those trees are not in South Sudan, those trees that you collect those fruits in, will that piece not be in the bucket for all, or do you mean what? Because I had been seeing you using this word in every occasion, in every interview, in every program like what you are in today.
Okay.
I don't know what kind of fruit is this fruit being collected to. This is one. Two, we have an English word that says that peace is better than war, because you see people are dying, and you in the Ministry of Peace Building, you are just having that policies is not yet that established, and you are talking of the policies to be established. Are you sure if that policies are really established, will we have peace with that? Like the question that I asked by Sandy Martin before, that policies are made, but they are lacking implementation. Are you sure those policies that you are going to frame, or a strategic plan as you mentioned, are you sure this strategic plan will yield fruit in South Sudan since you had been there? And
okay.
There are no result of peace that we are seeing as the public, as the people who are fighting. Like we have that of Jonglei, and your initiative with your partners, as you mentioned, they are not doing enough.
Okay.
The main partners that you want to bring together are not in peace, but they are in Mao's peace, but in their heart, they are not in that peace. What can you do as the Ministry of Peace Building to make sure this thing are brought to an end? As you see, the Ministry of the Minister himself, when they made it with Michael Mokwilwa in BOA, I watched that in YouTube, they were talking, representing their parties, and they are not in consensus of coming together to make peace prevail.
Okay.
What can we do?
Thank you so much. James from Good Daily here. Hello, Redmira.
Is
Mark Udariminwen?
Yes, Sana Martin, this is Bol Gabriel from Makobo.
Okay, Bol Gabriel from Makobo.
Okay, Sana Martin, this topic is very nice, by the way. You know, for us, we South Sudanese, we said like, we always discuss about most important points that are facing us, okay, in what? But in if we go in reality, so we don't do this thing, okay? You know, this conflict between all area, like one in Yonglei, between Peibor, is something which threat the community scene, okay? And if you see this problem, in fact, like one of our guest said before, you know, there is people who are really backing up this problem, okay? And always we do talk about that we will solve this problem until up to now. And really, I wondered in this week, when one of the peace activists, Edmund Yakani, say that those who condemns, who kill a civilian in Peibor will be condemned. Okay, so this problem it is not new issue.
Okay.
Okay? And then this problem of Jonglei said, if you see in 2012 it happened like that. Okay, so there was no any investigation that was been taken up to now, okay? And we do always say that we will do this. If possible, we will do this.
Okay.
So what is the real,
solution? Yeah? Yes, that is a Bol Gabriel is trying to find out the recurrence intercommunal fighting in Jonglei State has not started. It is not. It didn't start yesterday, but it has been going on way back. It seems like there is no permanent solution to this. Another question coming in via our SMS number is coming from Tap Mark Dew in Bentiu, Unity State. He says he wanted to find out, when do you think, Honorable, this document will become a legal document? And what are some of the challenges you foresee that's most likely to hinder the smooth implementation of what is contained in the document? That's from Tap Mark. Let's begin with that before we come to the other two questions.
Yeah, thank you, Mark. When do we think the... By the way, let me do this clarification.
Mm.
We are not waiting for the document to do the work. We are not.
Mm.
All our ministries, like the minister in Jonglei, as you mentioned, is a minister of peace. We have 10 state ministers in 10 states, and we have 3 in 3 administrative areas. We are already working. The challenge that we foresee, that we still see, that we are still facing today, is lack of resources to do peace-building activities. The lack of resources is the biggest thing, because peace-building is very expensive. And it is not in and out. It is consistent engagement. So the challenge we see with implementing this is the issue of financial resources. Mm. Secondly, is that many of our partners and donors, there is a way they like they don't trust us. You know, they don't give us the resources to do all this.
The government officials.
The government institutions. Mm. And so this again makes it very, very difficult. And so if you go to the state, you will see that the ministers are called upon every day when there is a problem. But they don't have vehicles. They cannot reach where there is a problem.
Yeah.
They don't have offices which are furnished. They don't have the equipment they need. Actually, if we had the money, they are supposed to have some grants there, because you don't know when the violence will begin. Okay. The good thing in South Sudan is when people are planning to fight, you will know that these people are planning.
Like, just to not to cut you short, the Minister of Peace Building in Jonglei State spoke to Redimira over the weekend. He said they have to foot for 4 hours to another village, I can't remember the name, in Jonglei, to contain some kind of mobilization that was going on. 4 hours on foot.
That's true. You know, even when these young people who came and went to Gumruk and Likwangul, when they were returning, they reached Jongole, they create some tension there. Actually, I was supposed to go. But the Minister of Peace Building in Jongole has to try find a truck to try to move them a little bit out of the town.
Mm.
You know, no money to do this. But if you leave them to come to the town, there could be other issues that will happen.
Okay.
So lack of resources is really a problem for this building.
There is a big basket with a lot of fruits, but where are you plugging them from?
my friend, what is the name from Gudele?
James.
You know, it is just a description that peace is not a standalone. Peace is good education. Peace is health care. Peace is infrastructure. Peace is economic empowerment. This is peace. Peace is not a standalone thing. It is all these good things that make up peace. Because
these are the trees.
These are the trees. The trees are these things I'm mentioning. So if you don't do these things, then there is no peace. Your basket is empty.
Mm-hmm.
If there is no security, if there is no road, if there is no education, if there is no health care, and then the worst thing, by the way, in South Sudan, is that even when we build something and there is a small challenge among us, we destroy that little one, you know?
It's very easy to destroy, but very difficult to
build. When there is a school, during war, somebody turned a gun against the school with nobody inside. I mean, this is where we go wrong, you know? You have a fight with somebody. A friend of mine told me that when you have a problem with somebody, you know, don't burn the bridge. You never know about tomorrow. Don't blow out the school or the hospital. You never know. You might be sick, or your sister or your brother, but you have already blown it out. So we need to desist from blowing the little that we have when we have a challenge.
Mm. And let me just read this quote from the first speech of the President of the Republic, Salva Kiir Mayardit, on the 9th of July, 2011, at Freedom, at the Dr. John Garang Museum here. He says, and I am quoting, "We have ended one struggle, and now we must start a new one. That is nation building. And our purpose is to give to our children what the war took away from us." That's what you are talking about now. And he says, "What the war took away from South Sudanese was peace, rule of law, food security, healthcare, good education, running water, clean water, electricity power, and the opportunity to pursue of happiness and prosperity." That was what the president said on during his first speech on the 9th of July, 2011. And now people are not living to this. What can be done? To foster nation building, according to the Ministry of Peace Building?
Look, the president was very clear. You know, when South Sudan got its independence, you know, the signs were everywhere that we were prospering. Even a teacher was able to buy a motorbike, was, you know, building a house with corrugated iron sheets. But that December, 2013 is what brought everything. The president was clear that, you know, if we did not go back to war, if South Sudan did not go back to war, I'm sure the education, basic services, the way things were moving, we would have achieved, we would now be reaping those fruits.
So now the question is, what collective efforts, people from within the government, outside the government, the partners, what can be done to embark on nation building?
Number one is that we must accept ourselves and we must be peace builders. We should not feel like the peace belongs to someone else. You know, when development can only come when there is peace, but there is no single person who will make peace. It is all our efforts, all of us. When we do, we build peace. If I build peace in my payam, in my county, yes, I can get the services that I need. If I don't blow the school in my county, in my payam, even when I disagree with my neighbor, school will be there. That means my children, my neighbor's children will go to school. So for us to have sustainable peace, we should accept ourselves. We should use dialogue as a means of resolving our conflict. We should work to build peace with our neighbors. We should stop hate speech that brings more challenge among us. And we should put the interests of our country and our children first.
And I was reading in another forum on social media, people condemning the Ministry of Peace Building on whenever there is any violence that have taken place in any part of the country, the Ministry of Peace Building cannot even issue any statement, maybe expressing concern, calling for calm. They mention an example like what happened here in Mangala, just under our eyes in Juba here, Juba County, what is happening in Jonglei, and also what happened last year in Upper Nile State. When this thing happened, they are blaming you that the ministry does not even issue any statement. What is going on?
Look, we are not, first of all, that's a genuine concern, but we are not a security ministry. You know, when guns are smoking, our role is very minimal, because we don't have guns, we don't use guns.
Can't the ministry call for calm? Asking both sides to reframe, just in a written document and signed by the minister or anybody in the ministry.
I think that one can be done. But sometimes when there is violent conflict, people come to us and say, you know, we want to peace, but people already still fighting.
Yeah.
Our role is to build dialogue. You know, there is no dialogue when the gun is smoking, or it is not very successful until when things calm down quickly. And that's why our military, you know, the military institution take the first step. When the situation is calm, that's when the peace building comes in. But we get that point to make statement and say, you know, people should use dialogue as a means of resolving the conflict.
And finally, Honorable Undersecretary, what is the best way of fostering reconciliation, healing among the communities right now who are still, maybe some of them are still bleeding, some of them are looking for their loved one who might have died or wounded, some of them are still coming back to their villages displaced? What's the best way of fostering healing, reconciliation among the people of South Sudan?
It's dialogue. You know, dialogue is very powerful. It's not revenge. It should be dialogue. And you know, the people who are bleeding, you know, women are lost. This morning we had a meeting with the minister from Upper Nile State. There were so many children who were taken, and the women, they don't know how many, and, you know, it is very stressful. But the best way, really, if we go for revenge every time in this country, it's not going to help us. There is power in forgiveness. There is power in dialogue. People must dialogue and agree to coexist, and those who have done wrong should be able to say sorry and to refrain from it moving forward.
Honorable Pierre Philip, thank you so much for coming to our studio. We hope to talk to you some other time. We appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And that was the Undersecretary of the Ministry of Peace Building here in Juba, the National Ministry of Peace Building, and talking to us about their draft peace building policy framework document, which is expected to be out very soon. And he also explained to us about the plan roundtable discussion for all walks of people in the corridor of Uganda-South Sudan border, South Sudan-Ethiopia border, South Sudan and Kenya border, that he believed that can resolve some of this intercommunal conflict taking place that has claimed many lives. My name is Annie Martin. The news will be coming next. And after the news, in English at 6 p.m., join my colleague, David Lucan.
Nationwide, your daily current affairs program on Radio Mirai.